I would like to thank you all and welcome you to the Medina Township Trustees Special Meeting, August 17th, 2023. The time is 5:01. Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Here.
Mr. Christopher?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Gets caught off guard there for a second.
Pledge.
If you've joined me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Join me in a moment of silence for our first responders at home and abroad. Thank you. I would like to take a minute to remind everyone to turn off their cell phones and refrain from talking during the actual meeting. There's a recording in progress during the meetings, and the microphones pick up everything. Please save your comments for the public comment portion of the meeting. And if you do not, and if you do wish to make a public comment, please be sure to sign in at the sign sheet provided at the door. This will make it easier for our admin department to produce the minutes properly. To start off, I'd like to move to adopt resolution number 08172023-114 to approve the payroll dated 8/18/2023, total amount of $42,562.56, the total remaining deductions, withholdings, and liabilities of $9,048.35, and incorporate this two-page document as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
So there are a couple of things with this, and I don't know how you want to handle this. So first and foremost, there were two employees on this week's or this biweekly payroll, one of which had more than the three consecutive days off for sick time, but we don't have a sick note for the employee. So I know Chief Minnick was working on getting that, but we don't have that yet. So that's something to deal with because that is our policy, and it's in the contract. There was another employee who had a doctor's note. This employee worked the 80 hours. However, the doctor's note, as of August 9th, said that they could not work until September 3rd, and they were on payroll after that. So that is problematic. So Chief Minnick was trying to get a note that said that they could work with restricted duties, but we don't have that. So again, another issue for the township. So those two things, and we can come back to that in a second, so I'm just going to throw everything at you at once. There also, payroll was approved with, and this was something I sent back the last time, if you remember, Chuck and Chief, the field training officer pay for the three officers who trained the new hire.
Right, it was submitted as payroll.
Correct, it was submitted as payroll this time. However, the hours didn't add up to the totals. So if you read the second and third pages of the breakdowns, the hours were shorted. So I didn't process that because we have to have it match.
And did you call the chief on it?
I didn't because I didn't have time. There wasn't, this was just a last, I caught it today. This is the second time I've sent it back, and we got to get this right. I can't have this in the, we can't be shorting.
No, I agree.
Payroll. So, I don't really understand.
The last concern in the last pay period wasn't that it was short, it was that he had turned it in directly.
Correctly, correct.
And so we changed that to this, and then again.
And this is turned in a little differently than I've seen before. Just to let you know, did you look at it when you approved it?
Well, we sit there in the office, and he shows me, goes, this is the over, or this is our training things and everything else like that. I'm not cross-referencing every dot and minute, but I saw that they were.
Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yes, we're familiar, because we sit there every Sunday going over everything that he's turning into you.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, the part of it was, the way it was turned in is the actual shift itself. So just for instance, a 6804P, it was, you know, listed that way. And then some of the hours were then just plus 2.5. You know, so it was like, when you went through, you had to add the shifts plus the hours. So, and then, like I said, they didn't add up.
How far are they off?
The one was off, you know, I don't have the numbers offhand, but like one, they broke it up by weeks. One was off by like three, the next one was off by, I think, five. It was off, I mean.
Three tenths?
No, like 3 hours, then 5 hours.
That's why I wanted clarification.
Yeah, you got, so.
Yeah, if it's wrong, then just turn it back into the chief, and he'll do the math correctly.
But I'm telling you, it's not, so that's why it's not on this payroll.
All right, that's completely fine.
So.
That's just the training you're talking about?
Just the, right, so forever, like, and the only one, there was one officer who only had 20 hours, so his was right. But everybody, the two officers who did field training, Officer Nichols and Officer Miltner, and then the officer who was trained, because he gets that shift differential for being assigned to that shift, his was also incorrect because it mirrored these shifts. So he was also not paid. So we pay these all at once, so I wasn't going to pay one officer and not the others.
All right, just,
you know, so.
We'll turn it into the chief, and I'll have him and the lieutenant review it before it gets turned back in.
Yeah, I just, like I said, it is a time-consuming process to do this, so.
Right, now, I don't go in there and I don't go and add up every hour. I go in there and see that they worked training and that the sheet was turned into you, so.
Yeah, but somebody's got to be adding up the hours, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
At the end of the day, these will be done in the next pay cycle? Is that what the plan is?
Well, somebody needs to add these up, you know, so.
But we're not going to do it in this pay cycle.
No.
We wouldn't do it in interim, correct?
No.
So it would be done in the next pay cycle?
Yeah, so. I just asked that somebody checks these, so that.
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So going back to the doctor's notes, because we do have.
Well, one, we know I had a baby.
Correct.
So that one, you know, I didn't think we needed a note to say that they had a baby, because that's, he turned in the paperwork that they had a baby.
Contractually, we have to have a note in the file, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's knowledge of it and, I mean, common sense, yes, you know that, but again, you have to remember when.
Even our last pay period, she would have been out for more than 3 days.
I think she used vacation time last pay period, I believe. You'd have to go back and check, but.
Well, it won't be a problem to get the.
Yeah. And then the other, but I'm just saying, we just have to follow our own rules, is kind of.
Are they being paid this pay period?
They're on there, yeah. I just want to know what you want to do about, because.
I just want to make sure that they're paid.
I think that we just, if, you know, just stay within the policy, you know, that we're going to approve payroll, even though we know this isn't.
And we know that.
In place.
The doctor's letters won't be there.
And we will get that taken care of. When do you think we can have those?
Well, as soon as I can get a hold of Hallie.
Okay. Within the next.
And the one with Sergeant Mangel, is her doctor was supposed to put like duty on there, and that's where the discrepancy came on that one. So I should have that hopefully by Monday.
Okay. I feel that we ought to approve the payroll with the understanding that both of those doctor slips / corrections will be made within the next week.
Week.
Do you want me to make a motion to that regard for any reason?
I think it's on the record.
It's on the record, so.
Yeah, that's.
All right. Anything else?
No.
I have an update with the workers' comp. Are we going to get to that later? I don't know. You have an executive session. I'm not sure if that's what that's about, or do you want to just go over that now?
Let's go for it now.
Okay.
Workers' comp.
So, have we seen roll call for payroll?
Thank you.
That's what I was trying to get at, is like, close that part out.
Yes, roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Thank you, Kristen.
So I can't make workers comp move quick, more quickly than they're going to. That's just, you know, it's a process. I believe there's perhaps 1.5 checks left, maybe, for the employee that's retiring, right? That being said, and because they're not actual going, there's no hours worked at this point. The board is going to have to decide what you want to do in regards to those checks. Because contractually, the employee has to also endorse the check over from workers comp to the township. I talked to Chief Minnick about this earlier this week. The resolution was, that was passed last meeting, was a bit vague as far as it, you know, talking about inclusion of hours, but it didn't really say what you're doing with the hours, like if you're paying. This is a little unorthodox with paying out the hours instead of just, you know, just doing a lump sum payout, you know, as far as like paying them out on a weekly basis, so. But what I'm getting at is generally, if there's anything that a town, you know, an employee owes the township, we don't release final pay until the employee has made good on what they owe the township. So I don't, you know, that's something to think about if you want to, because these are now technically payouts on accruals.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to hold back on those payouts until the workers' comp situation is rectified? Because, you know, the thing is the employee has had plenty of time to respond to workers' comp. There, you know, part of this was because he gave a number that was not correct and then didn't answer the emails or the letters, so.
So we're talking about in the next pay cycle, whether that would be released to him or whether that would be held.
Correct.
In conjunction with him to sign over the other pay.
Right, because there's going to be that pay cycle, and then I believe, I don't have the numbers right here, but I think there's going to be maybe a little bit of, you know, a few more hours left to cash in, but not much, you know, so, but it's, you know, not enough, not nearly enough to cover the amount that we would be recouping from workers' comp. And the thing is even though he has signed that waiver, he will still have to also endorse the check once the township, both the township and the employee endorses the check. So that's, you know, once the employee's gone, sometimes they're hard to track down, you know, so that will be something that.
Doesn't BWC send that check to Medina Township?
They do, but both have to, and both the township and the employee has to endorse the check. That's how the salary reimbursement works. That's the only way that can be done. And that's contractual, you know, that's part of the bargaining unit contract, so that's what we have to do.
Well, it sounds like something that we probably ought to run by legal and get their advice on. I understand what I think I hear you saying, and I think that part of that, like you say, you can't make workers' comp pay, but they're not going to not pay. And once they do pay, I think we would want to maybe see, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way to, like you said, that signature is important for him, so.
Yeah.
I just want to get some cooperation and get everything closure.
Right.
Let's get it closed.
So I don't think there's anything we have to act on today.
No,
but to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I think we'll, like I said, we'll talk to, I made a note here to talk to legal about that.
Can we even have them contact workman's comp?
That would be the way.
Push them a little bit, get the closure.
So can you, and I think you may have already, but can you forward or get it to Chrissy, the contact information for workers' comp that we could give then to legal?
I can. There's several different people that are dealing with different parts of this. So.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, just put a little kind of summary on some contacts. And, that'll give them something to work with.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Got through that, right?
Yes, I'm sure. Number three.
I would like to make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss employment of a public employee.
Second.
And we will take the three trustees. Do we need anyone else for this particular round?
It's up to you. You're good with the time, too.
And the time is 5:16. Roll call. Or do we, yeah.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Going into executive session, it's 5:16. All right, the time is 5:36, and we have returned from executive session where no decisions were made. We did have a chance to talk about some things, and Bruce, would you like to share some ideas?
One of the, we're way behind on minutes, and we have to get caught up on the minutes. So we've talked, even though Kim Ferentz, who had done our zoning for years, 20-plus years, she has said that she would be willing to come in and do the minutes to help catch us up. And so in discussing it with Kim, she has proposed that an amount per hour, and we feel that that would be a fair amount to help us get caught up. So my recommendation, my feeling that we should be looking at doing something like that. So,
Chuck, you wanna?
Well, like I said, I've known Kim for 12-plus years, and she knows what she's doing with the minutes. If it's, you know, something to just get caught up as a temporary basis, I don't really have an issue with it.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, we need looking at each one as they come in and making sure that we're happy with the quality of what we're doing. But again, like I said, I've read a million zoning ones, and, you know, everything is informational and to the point, and it's been perfect. So, you know, she should fit right in with being able to do the minutes.
I'm just writing this out so I can maybe, I can read it and you guys can tweak it if you like. So if this was a motion to be made, would it read something to the effect of, we would like to offer Kim Ferentz a position to assist our administration or admin with the emphasis and strength and emphasis on catching up on the minutes, a part-time position, and with a pay scale of $20 an hour?
That's what she was proposing, was $20 an hour. And
right.
Bruce said that he had researched it. You know, and it's a good price.
It's not bad. It's fair for what that's going on. And then we would have to just monitor how she did, you know, and it's a part-time position, so we would hope that, and I don't have any reason to think it won't be good.
Yeah.
So,
not part of that, just a question. Would we just have her fill out a thing like she does now for, or like she did for the zoning, and just say, you know, did X number of minutes?
If she's being paid by the hour, it wouldn't be.
Well, that's what I'm asking. So she would just turn it, but do you want a breakdown of, okay, I did week one minutes, and it took me 4 hours, $80. Week two minutes, or a special meeting, it took me 15 minutes, and so that's, you know, $10 or whatever.
Well, I guess that's really up to, that's up to the board. I mean, we could set her up on punching. Even if you're letting her, and you can set her up to punch at home. I mean, if you want her to track her time,
No, we don't have the zoning people punch in or out, so.
But she's not a zoning person. She's an administrative helper, so I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, have them set, because they'll be set up on paycheck, she'll be set up on paycheck set too.
Right, she's, yeah, she's already, I never dis,
Oh, you never got.
I mean, I put her on leave, but I didn't take her out of, like, just so that she'd have the ability to come back and help, because I know she had offered to help Stephanie, and so I didn't want to take her direct deposit information out of there. So I can get her back on real quick. I'm just thinking, you know, we've had several discussions about how long minutes take, so that might be an easier way to actually track what, you know, how long they're actually taking.
Well, you know, I feel comfortable with her being honest, and if people are worrying about somebody being dishonest, they can punch in. No, I'm just saying, they can punch in and go out to lunch. So I think Kim will sit there, listen to the minutes, type them up, and give them to us. And I think it's, actually, I think it's an affront to say, here, you have to punch in to do the minutes. It's not like she's in the office, she's just doing the minutes.
Yeah, it was nothing about dishonesty, Bruce. It was simply about tracking what's being done.
What I'm saying is, it doesn't really track anything. If she says it took me 4 hours, what's the difference if she says it took me 4 hours or if she punches in and punches out and it took 4 hours?
Well, the only difference is that a timesheet can get lost more easily than something just being electronically submitted and then everything's on paychecks and it automatically comes over and then
what
I'm
if,
looking, you know.
What if we would do the first month on a paper sheet like we did assistant fiscal at the time, right? That was all paper, correct?
Oh, back a long time ago?
Yeah. Well, the detective.
Yeah.
There was nothing electronic.
So assistant fiscal. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So I think part of the concern is some of the issues we have with paychecks starting and stopping, and she just doesn't want to be with that.
Well, here's the other problem I see with this. Like, say I start working on the minutes, and I say, okay, I'm going to work, and I work from 6 to 7 p.m., and then I go and take a break, and then I go from 9 to 10, and you're going to have all these punch-ins and punch-outs with no schedule. That would be the only thing I could see as an issue. I don't have a problem with paychecks being punched in because it's an easy way to calculate your hours, but it's cleaner to have, you know, minute number one took me 4 hours, you know, or it took me 3 hours and 50 minutes, too.
Yeah, I can see both. Chuck's right on that one. I mean, you know, there are restrictions with.
But you're not going to probably work on them straight.
Right. The disadvantage with this is if she's going to be working at them from home, she's going to have to get that timesheet signed to Bruce. So,
yeah.
You know, so
no different than she did with the zoning. You know, she had to bring the stuff in, sign it.
But minutes she would be able to electronically submit to you, so I don't know if
well, she could submit that,
you know,
electronically.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
and
I'm
actually
just,
she could scan a sheet and send it over too, and send it
right.
to Elaine, because Elaine is the department head.
I think ultimately it's your decision how you want to submit it. Just make sure you get it submitted.
So if I might, I'd like to make a motion to offer Kim Ferentz a position part-time to assist our admin with the efforts to help catch up on the minutes. Second, the pay scale will be $20 per hour.
Second.
Details to be continued to work out.
Can you take public comment?
Not yet.
Can I? Real quick. Did you want to set a limit on hours per week, or because if it is considered a part-time position,
there's one in our organizational meeting, isn't there?
Well, obviously, so to tell her, I don't know, or do you expect her to read the organizational meeting?
I think the organizational sets like $25 a week, I believe.
Maybe we should stay.
Okay.
It can't hurt anything.
Weekly hours to not exceed.
I can't see her working a full-time job and then spending 20 hours plus on our stuff. There's just no way that would even be feasible.
Want to put 20 hours in there, or you want to put 25? I think that this, I think it says 25 hours on our.
Yeah, but either, even working, again, working a full-time.
She's not, yeah, it's not to exceed, it's not she has to work that much.
So even if you just put 20, I think that'd be fine, but I'd be surprised if you get a $20.
Yeah, I'm not expecting her to have those kind of hours. I just, but we'll have it on there, so it'll be on the record. Weekly hours not to exceed 20 hours per week. And details, well, details to be worked out. In other words, if there's situations where this can be changed, this can be adjusted, but it's a starting place. And we need to have, we're hoping that it works out well for everybody. So.
I put a start date in there too.
So I haven't started the motion yet, right? Or have I?
You did.
You did, so we have to rescind or amend.
Just restart.
Is it easier for you, Chris, for me to restart this?
Well, we haven't voted, right, so.
Yeah, just still going, just restate your.
I just, okay, so, in summary.
Just restate it.
I'd like to make a motion to offer Kim Ferentz a position, part-time, to assist our admin with the strengths and emphasis on catching up on our minutes. The hourly rate is $20 per hour. Details will be worked out. Weekly hours not to exceed 20 hours per week. Pay to be recorded. Hours to be recorded. On paper timesheet to start. That is my motion.
Is there a start date?
What's that?
Is there a start date?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's good. I'll put Monday as a start date.
It doesn't matter to.
Proposed start date. It's August 21st. 2023?
Yep.
That's my motion. Can I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. I'd move to adopt resolution number 0817-2023-115 to approve the appropriation status fund by date 8/17/2023 and incorporate this 14-page document as presented.
Second.
Any conversation? Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Purchase orders and training requests, and I think I got some to my left.
I do have a blanket purchase order request. I'd like to make a motion for a blanket purchase order request. The department's going to be police. It's It's going to be for telephone services. It's going to be Fund 2081-210-341-0000 for $3,000.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Next one is, I'd like to make a motion for a blanket purchase order requisition. Department's police. This is going to be for dues and fees out of Fund 2081-210-510-0000 for $1,000.
Second.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
I'm sure I have more. I got a training request in here somewhere.
Okay.
All right, so I'd like to make a motion to approve a training request. This is going to be for Sergeant Nicholson. It's going to be SWAT team building and new tactics and legal liabilities. It's going to be located in Butterville, Indiana. The date's going to be September 4th through the 8th, and it does have a cost of $300, which is already in our blankets.
Second.
Any discussion on it?
Are we, that the cost itself is in the blankets, is there enough in training to cover the travel and everything?
Yep. He's gonna take my car now.
But the hotel and?
There's no hotel.
Oh, he's not staying overnight?
Yeah, they'll be down there, but it's a actual.
Dorm?
Like a military type base where they're training at.
Okay.
So all that's gonna be for is his $60 a day person.
Oh, okay.
All right, roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Want to stamp it or just sign, have us sign it?
I think you sign them.
Okay. I'd like to sign this.
You want to sign it?
I'd sign it.
You made the motion.
Yeah.
Be just like a regular purchase order.
Thank you. All right. I think that's it for training question.
I think so. I don't need
this. Will be for other stuff with the department, so.
Okay, so keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any training or purchase requests?
Okay.
Around 116, right?
Yes.
I would move to adopt resolution number 0817-2023-116 to reallocate funds in the amount of $1,000 from line item 2031-330-319-0000. Professional and technical, to line item 2031-330-322-0000, garbage and trash, and incorporate this one-page document as reference.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
To make a motion to approve a purchase order request. The date is 8/17/23. The department is service. The vendor is Rumpke. The description is garbage and trash removal. And the amount is $1,000. And it's from Fund 2031-330-322-0000.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Real quick on any of the utilities, things like this. I talked to Denny about this the other day, but I'll just let you all know. Now that we're getting closer to the end of the year, this is the better way to do purchase, like instead of blankets, because we can carry them forward. And a lot of times, you know, the utilities don't line up perfectly with a 1 month. So even if it goes into January, but, you know, again, we don't have to close those out. So we don't have to worry about there being, you know, encumbered funds, and we'll just use them up into 2024. So if you see, you know, like electric, telephone, anything like that getting low.
Yeah, because I think you and I had talked earlier, maybe it was last year, like somewhere like towards the end of November, just even opening up a blanket for the telephone service.
Purchase order.
A purchase order. That's what we talked about. Opening up a purchase order at the end of the year, just to make sure that we cover January. And that was one.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, you can, even if you go a little high, it's okay, because you are going to use that up, you know, and things like electric, gas, garbage, mm-hmm. things like, you know, telephone. So,
otherwise you lose it at the end of the year.
Use it or lose it or have to adjust down.
Right.
But with these, you don't have to worry about that. So if you see those lines getting low, that's how I'd encourage you to, you
Thank
know,
you.
Put them up.
Okay. So. Very good. There's no more purchase order and training requests. I would like to move to adopt resolution number 08172023-117 to approve accounts payable dated 8/4/2023 to 8/17/2023 with digital check number 41-2023 and physical check numbers 32971 to 33001 for a total amount of $142,996.14, and incorporate this one-page document as presented.
Sorry.
Anything?
So there are a couple things. So I know Trustee Johnson just opened a blanket for telephone, but we did have a perfect voice and data bill that came in this accounts payable period that I think Chief Minnick might have been out this time, so Sergeant Zija had signed off on this, approved it, but there was not enough encumbered funds for this to pay this bill. We were about $86 short, so it was approved. But we've had this conversation more than 20 times at least. You know, I'm beating a dead horse here. You know, but there were insufficient funds. So I don't know, you know, I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm sure everybody is sick of hearing me
currently
talk
that's,
about this.
But not been paid.
Or it's not been paid. It's not, we just got it. So, you know, there's a 30-day
grace.
And yeah, we can talk about that. We also received a bill from the audit, Lexanic Perry and Associates, right? And for the AUP. And, you know, I know, Doug, we went back and forth a little bit about this, but there was no purchase order pulled, because when that contract was signed, it was kind of out of my hands. Nothing was done at a meeting. And then there was no purchase order pulled for the audit. So I don't know how the board wants to handle that.
I would say it sounds like we have two options, really. One would be to see if you had funds available to pay it, and we would do a then and now. Or B, we would just issue a resolution and make a warrant to have you pay it. Those are the only two options to pay the bill, correct? We kind of learned that with the North Gateway.
I mean, that's right. I feel like we keep having these conversations with these on, and it's, and it's frustrating for me, because I don't know how else to communicate this. Like I know mistakes happen, but when it's happening,
but this one
all
is
the
audit, which you're kind of like in charge of. That would have been good to say, hey, we don't have a
Chuck. I wasn't in charge. I wasn't in charge of it. I didn't sign that contract. It was taken out of my hands. So you can't say that's not fair.
Well, I mean, because I actually didn't know that we didn't have one from there. I figured that was already part of the
if.
The whole process, that was.
Had I, the steps I would have taken were, would have been to bring that contract in for, in front of the board and had a motion made to allow me to sign the contract and then pull the purchase order. That's the steps I would have taken.
So here's where we're at today. We have to pay the bill. So I think there's only two options to pay it. It's the same amount that was prescribed in the proposal, correct?
Yes, I think, I don't know. I don't know because I didn't get the proposal that was the proposal that.
You would have the same proposal that everybody had and you would have had it.
Well, I mean, so we're talking about, what, a year and a half ago? Maybe I did have it, but I'm just, like I said, I don't know because I didn't sign the contract, so I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to speak to something that was, what, a year and a half ago.
Do you have the dollar amount available?
I do.
$3,000.
$3,450. Too many things here.
Just make a resolution.
Go ahead.
Or we could do it at the next meeting and make it more presentable.
Yeah, I thought I brought it here, but yeah, I just thought.
It's not going to matter.
Maybe it got stuck in one of the folders or whatever.
We'll put the Perry and Associates invoice off until.
Yeah, I just, so this is the thing. I mean, we're really at, you know, I just don't know what else to do. I mean, with, you know, the perfect voice and data, but this whole, it's like, I don't know how else to keep having these conversations though. You know, it's like.
I think it comes back to.
Happening.
I'm sorry, I didn't shut you off.
No, it just keeps happening. And like, I just don't, you know, I mean, I know they're legitimate bills of the township, you know, so that's, I'm not arguing that fact, but it's so frustrating for me because we, legitimate or not, there are rules to follow. The state has guidelines on this and it's not right to keep asking me to overlook those rules or to do something that, I mean, I've explained this over and over. I don't feel like this is the right thing to do. I mean, it's.
Well, we don't, if there's options out there, you can let me know what you think those might be. I think that what I look at is that it's communication and we need to continually be diligent to pay attention to these and not just sign stuff, authorize it without being funded. That being said, there's people involved, a lot of people involved, and unfortunately, there's going to be mistakes whenever you have people involved. So I think when you make a mistake, try to figure it out, and you try not to have the same people making the same mistakes all the time.
Well, by time, the thing is by time this was signed, it was too late. I mean,
right.
it was also, I mean, so the approval itself was wrong, but I mean, when you're getting that low, that shouldn't happen. I mean, these bills don't change. This has been the same for probably the better part of 2 years.
Well, the telephone one, as of right now, we're at 33% that we used, you know, for year-to-date expenditures.
Year-to-date, but you have to look at your encumbered balance. You still have you had $4,500, I believe, unencumbered.
Right, but I'm just saying it might not have jumped out to replenish that when you're only at 33% of what you had and you're at the halfway mark. So you would think that the 446 would have been enough in there. And I'm not saying it's good that they signed it. I don't think that this is the one that Zija had looked at.
Correct.
So we'll just have to point this out to Zija that you got
right.
It.
I mean, he as a trustee, he should know that, you know, he should be more familiar than most with this, right? I think your
point's very well taken.
So
okay, we're not going to resolve anything else discussing it further tonight. Am I wrong?
I just, well, I
hear you. I really do. And I think we need to communicate and work together more, all of us in our departments, to minimize that. But there are people, there's gonna be mistakes, and we gotta resolve.
And I am completely, I don't expect perfection, I just, it's like, I feel like when you have the conversation, as much as we've had it, that the mistakes need to be minimized.
It is, I mean, really, right now, it's one thing with the telephone. The auditor one, that's an anomaly, because that's over a year and a half ago that was missed, so we'll just keep moving.
There's a motion on, can I have a roll call?
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Oh, one other thing, real quick, actually, Chief, were you gonna bring up the Voyager?
Yeah.
Were you gonna talk about?
Yeah, that's being talked about.
Okay, one, so just one other thing, I'll leave you to that. The Verizon bill, I don't know how many tablets the police department has right now. When you were getting rid of the old cars, are you taking the tablets off of the Verizon bill, or is somebody in charge of that?
We're switching the tablets. We would take them and put them into a new.
So how many tablets should there be?
The only one that should be on there for new tablets should have been mine, and that's it.
Okay, so the bill actually shows two new tablets, and then it shows two new tablets, and then there's also like just a random tablet PD. Then it shows tablets for cars 6, 3, 4, 5, and then a tablet for engine 6. Does that make sense?
No, that is not ours, that is the fire department.
Okay, well, that's, so, because the.
That's still our tablet for the fire department.
I think we have tablets.
But, yeah, but see, this is being approved by the police department, so I'm handed this and I'm paying it as a police department bill.
Okay.
So that shouldn't, you know, we've got to get this.
We know where it's at, main thing. We know it's ours, and we know.
Yeah.
Well, right, but you don't wanna have it come out of the wrong fund.
True.
Because we can't pay.
So we should have two different fund numbers on there.
Right, because we're paying now part of fire out of, fire out of police money, and that can't, we can't do that.
So you'll just clarify that with Chrissy, because she'll write the number on there for us, and then we'll just sign it, each person would sign it next time.
And we just wanna find out, and then if you can look at this and make sure that these, you know, that you're being charged for the right number of tablets, because I have no way of knowing what tablets are in what cars, you know. Who's who, what's what? I don't know how many you have now, you know, so.
Has it been broken down before on previous bills?
Yeah, they're in there, I just noticed it creeping up, and I know I know the police got the tablet.
Like, you know, how when you rate the numbers, I usually go off what, you know, I'm looking at.
What the last checks were.
So this first time it's on here, or is this new, or?
No, it's been on there, I just noticed it creeping up, so I really, like, I went through, I mean, I always look through to make sure there's no miscellaneous charges, but I went through and looked at which cars, and then I see these two new tablets, and so, I mean, I went page by page, and I mean, there hasn't been any miscellaneous charges, but I was looking at what they're labeled this time, and I can't.
I'm gonna look back, too.
So, just don't want anybody charged for something they're not supposed to be, so.
Hold off on that one, or?
No, that's paid, it's paid, but, you know, we might have to do some warrant reallocations on that, so.
And do old business?
Yeah, I guess that would be considered old business. So, the last meeting, we made a resolution, and we had some changes and some talk, and then we also worked with council, so I would like to make a motion to rescind resolution number 08-03-2023-106, a resolution to accept a retirement letter from Officer Matthew Ventura that was passed on Thursday, August 3rd, 2023, during the Dine Township Trustees' regular meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right, so with that, Chief presented this back to council, and then this is going to be a clarification. So this will be resolution 118. This is a revised resolution to accept the retirement letter. So it's going to be, I would move to accept resolution number 08172023-118. Whereas on Thursday, July 11th, 2023, Chief Minnick received a letter from Officer Matthew Ventura formally announcing his retirement from the Downey Township Police Department effective September 1st, 2023. And whereas Officer Ventura requested in his retirement letter the opportunity to utilize his accrued vacation, sick, and personal time from July 18th, of 2023 through September 1st, of 2023, Officer Ventura shall receive an additional 68.2 hours of accrued vacation time and 51.7 hours of accrued sick time that was due to him from February 9th of 2023 through September 1st of 2023. And whereas Officer Ventura submitted a request for his opt-out payment from January 1st of 2023 through September 1st of 2023, prorated in the amount of $3,550.88. And whereas the board accepted Officer Ventura's retirement in resolution number 08032023, but having found it necessary to clarify the payments stated in said resolution from which Officer Ventura is eligible in relation to his retirement, the board rescinded resolution number 08032023. Now, therefore, it is hereby resolved by the Board of Trustees of Medina Township that section one, the board hereby accepts the retirement letter attached to this resolution from Officer Matthew Ventura, effective September 1st of 2023. Officer Ventura shall receive an additional 119.9 hours of accrued time that was due to him while on injury leave and shall be allowed to utilize this time from July 18th of 2023 through September 1st of 2023. Officer Ventura will receive payment for any unused accrued time after September 1st, 2023, and the prorated opt-out payment is the amount of $3,550.88. It is hereby found that determined that all formal actions of this township concerning and relating to the adoption of this resolution were adopted in an open meeting of the township trustees, and that all deliberations of the township trustees and any of its committees that resulted in such formal action were in a meeting open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code. This resolution shall be in full force, effective from and immediately after its adoption.
Second. I went through the whole thing kind of before, so.
Yeah.
It's just clarification, I believe, is what this was about.
So the, have you spoken to Mark Herwick to make sure that there's not going to be any picking up of the insurance? Because that Medical Mutual is retroactiving the cancellation.
That's not what Mark, I talked to Mark, but he said they're not retroactivating it. So nothing has changed.
From Medical Mutual, so
Mark said that they weren't doing that. That's all he told me. So.
Oh, well, they are. So I'm telling you.
I'm going to take that as a first notice, and I'll follow that up with Mark.
Yeah, so I'm just. So.
I
just want to make sure we're not going to get a request to payroll deduct and then have this on top of it, because we can't do both, obviously. So just, you know.
All I know is what he told me, and what he told me and what he told you sounds like two different things. So
I mean, I have an email from Mark telling me that if the termination will be issued within, this was 2 days ago, I believe, and said it said it'll be posted within the next 72 hours. So I don't know what he's telling you, Doug, That's just completely not accurate. So
I haven't talked to him in the last day. So okay. I'm just kidding. You're just telling me now something that's new to me, so I'll follow it up. That's all I can do.
I mean,
I can't do anything but that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this at the last meeting, so it's nothing's changed, you know.
But at the last meeting.
Okay. Yeah, nothing's changed from the last meeting.
Would this be new business or old business? I just want to ask.
Yeah, Got a second one there, boss.
These are new things, so we're going to get new business.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Anything for old business, Bruce?
No. OTA webinar training and discussion. In the past, there's been, we made a motion or a resolution that we would sign or talk about the ones that we're going to take. And I for one, would like to have it freed up to where, instead of announcing the ones you're going to take, announce the ones you took, because they follow very tightly time-wise. And sometimes you don't have, you know, our life changes. We can't take the one we wanted to. We might take something different.
I think that's what we did.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
That's good. That's what I wanted to make. I wanted to clarify that. So we're good. There's the OTA training offers a lot, and I look forward to taking advantage of it as best we can.
Oh, I don't think we did a roll call on that last resolution.
Okay. Please.
Have a seconded by Doug. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck made it. I seconded it.
Mr. Yes. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
So, continuing new business, one of the Fridays that the chief and I were meeting, I also had a Detective Mike Euler with us, and we were discussing these flock cameras. And if anybody doesn't know about flock cameras, they're a camera that actually stationary and it reads license plates and stuff like that. It's good for detecting either stolen vehicles, missing people, and stuff like that. And it's come to our thing here that I would actually like to make a motion to authorize Chief Minnick and or his designee to apply for an Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, JAG program, for a flock, four flock cameras in the amount of $83,250.
Second.
So a little bit more discussion on this. Chief, you want to give us a little bit more clarification on it?
Yeah, this is going to be for five cameras. We got them at pretty much everywhere coming into Medina Township. They are a tool that's been around for about a couple years now. All the municipalities and townships around us have them. They just allow townships to put them up on right outside off of interstates, actually. And they are a wonderful tool. We have solved so many cases because we're set up as just a view only user, and Detective Euler, just last week, him and I, we were patrolling, and he got an alert on a warrant that he issued off a domestic violence case, and the alert got picked up right at the city of Medina in 18, and so we started heading that way because we had a warrant out for this guy, and sure enough, we found him, and we followed him right into the Medina Municipal Court parking lot. He was going there because of the warrant during COVID. And also, we used it for Commissioner Colleen's case, and that's how we identified the person in that case. There is just a tool that is worth its weight in gold, actually. You know, it could be used if we have a missing person, we have missing children, we could use these. Okay, and the biggest thing is a lot is just the safety of it, right? Like when we had that domestic violence and we had to issue that that restraining order, okay, and protection order. All right, just that alone. Because who knows? I mean, who knows what this person was thinking about this, you know? And it let us know, and it'll come right up on the phone. And then Detective Euler got an alert from a department in South Carolina on that. So that's how we found out who was on, you know, writing the checks on behind that case when they stole the Fisher's West purse. And the alert came right up on it, and it was, I mean, so it's a fabulous tool. It's, you know, it's expensive, this,
That'd be nice.
Where do they get put? I mean, do they get put up by traffic lights or something, or what?
They'll be put up on certain, and they're separate. They can't go up by traffic lights. It's got to be on a separate pole that's ODOT approved, actually. And we put them in, it'll be off of 71 and 18. It'll be off of 71 and Route 3. We're going to have one, two of them on, one on Pearl and Fenn, and the other one by Walmart. We're getting a lot of issues out of that, too. And then one on Nettleton and Pearl, right there. I mean, not easement.
Appreciate you going after that, Graham.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully we'll get approved for that. But it's the $83,500 is for, I mean, $83,250. That is for 5 years, okay? So that covers us for 5 years on that. So hopefully we'll cross our fingers and hopefully we'll get accepted for it.
What are the stipulations? Any matches? Any?
No, nothing.
Awesome.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Bringing up the Voyager,
yeah,
stuff here. So do you want to discuss a little bit about this, or
I'll make a motion and then have a discussion?
All right, so just talking with Chief here again about the Voyager gas cards and the vehicles and stuff like that. So I would like to make a motion to authorize Chief Minnick to contact Voyager and have them assign new cards for each of the police vehicles.
I would second that. And the purpose of this is simply easier to...
You got new police vehicles and new police officers and all that kind of stuff.
It's so easier to monitor and track.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to assign it to each vehicle.
Right.
Instead of each officer having an officer.
Right.
All right, roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Got anything else, Bruce?
No, I don't.
I'd like to make a motion to open the floor for public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
We are open the floor. If you please state your name and your address.
Do you want my age
too? No. 16.
So 3523 Marks Road. Two things. First, I want to say the cemetery is beautiful, what you trustees have done for that. Thank you very much for being such good trustees. And number two, is it possible to make Kim Ferentz a vendor instead of, you know, pay her hourly, but do it as a vendor like you do the webmaster? Just a suggestion.
It's a good suggestion. It's not something I had thought of.
I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, she's very fast and very good, so she'll whip those out in no time. I've known her 21 years.
No, that's an excellent idea. I never thought about that. And that's part of what we're working through.
Does that pose a problem?
For us?
For you?
No. No. I mean, you'd have to ask her if she's willing.
Sure.
Then she'd
right.
Have, yeah.
Because she'd have to have things set up.
Work out the details.
That's part of working out the details, but thank you. That's positive input's wonderful.
And thank you for being such good trustees.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Dan.
Dan Tizano, 5021 Grand Boulevard, obviously here in the township. Couple things here. Number one, I'm back here, and Chuck, I can, when you guys are talking, I can barely hear you. Is there any way you guys could, Doug, I think you were pretty quiet earlier, I just can't hear you guys.
Okay.
Maybe it's father time catching up with my hearing, I have no idea.
No, you're not alone, I've heard the same.
I got your seat right here.
No, but the bottom line, I can't hear you.
All right, yeah, just let me know earlier, I...
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, so, the other thing is, a couple things, are, the thing with the meeting minutes?
Yeah.
Who is currently responsible for doing that, or who has been responsible for doing the meeting minutes?
Well, Chrissy's been doing them, Angela's part of the equation, but Chrissy's part of the equation now, but they're just been so backlogged with other, well, specifically, public records requests.
Okay.
So, there's only so much time in a day that you can have, and we've struggled with trying to do both. And that's why.
That's fine, how long has this been going on? Because I've been a member of the township for many, many years, I don't recall this ever being an issue, I'm just curious what happened.
Well, when we hired Chrissy, the minutes were way behind.
Okay.
And through her work and with the other secretary, they got it caught up. And the other secretary was released in January, and so then...
We were held up all the way back in September, though, too, they weren't getting approved, so...
Chuck, what's...
We were, even though we let go of the other secretary, the minutes were not getting approved all the way back in September. And so we were going through the process, there were some disagreements on the wording and the verbiage and how it was written and stuff like that. So we're trying to work our way through that, and it's just basically working out.
That was literally September, you're right. That was September of 2022 was where that started.
Okay, I was just curious, it seemed like an anomaly, I'm just curious what happened.
We like it to be an anomaly.
Right, because we were actually caught up about July of last year.
It was a short time, but yeah.
And then we got behind.
So what happened from July of 22 that you guys fell behind?
There's a lot of detail, and a lot of, I don't know how to say it without it being a very long conversation. But at the end of the day, what Chuck was saying was, there were minutes presented, and at the time, we had Chrissy working on them, Nick would look at them, they go to Angela, and then at some point in time, Angela would present them to the board.
Okay.
And somewhere in that time frame, the process stopped in the fact that we weren't getting them back. And there were concerns about verbiage, and there were some concerns about content. So that's why they stopped, as best I understand. That's the concerns of verbiage and content.
Okay, well, thank you, I appreciate that. Has that verbiage and content been resolved?
We're hoping that this is going to be resolved.
Okay.
Because there's somebody that's been doing minutes for 20 years here. In a different
township.
In different capacity, in a zoning.
That's Kim, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. No,
and so, and I think she gets along with everybody in the mix. So I'm hoping that, you know, that's going to be it's not a wild card.
Yeah.
I think, you know, everybody has a chance to be their own wild card. I'll keep that at that. But I think that this is a good step, and we've tried some other thoughts, but this is a step.
Perfect, thank you. And then a follow-up to that, is there an end date on this? Because you're leaving, one of the things that you said, you discussed the hourly rate, you discussed the start date, but is this going to be in perpetuity, or is it going to be a certain end date? When do you expect, how long is this going to be going on till?
I think what we were trying to communicate was that we were trying to get caught up with the minutes.
Okay.
So I would say that would lead me to think that when our minutes are caught up, that position may no longer be needed.
Right, but you didn't. There's nothing stipulated in your proposal or whatever you call it, the resolution.
I think the details.
Temporary position, so yeah.
Okay. Well, you said part time. I don't remember saying temporary. Okay. Well,
I think that's part of the details to be worked out.
Okay, gotcha.
But thank you, seriously.
And then two other items here. Danny, did you recently mow the grass right at Wayman, South Wayman, and Route 3?
No, that's a state.
Is it okay? Because that's this treacherous intersection. Trying to get pull out of South Weymouth onto Route 3, and aggressive.
I've called the state a number of times on it. I don't know if they
haven't. No, they have done. It looks like I went by it today, but it says I drive a passenger car, and it's like a lot of people drive SUVs, and I just can't see around this stuff. And it's like, how am I getting around there?
And then one last thing, so thanks, I thought you did it, I was just gonna thank you for it, but you didn't. And then one last thing, there's been, I've been here for many years in the township, 23 years, I've been to a lot of different meetings. There's been a lot of turnover, obviously people get voted in and out of office. Are the trainees, or the, trustees, are you, did you guys go through some sort of a formal training program? Or is it just kind of just thrown into the seat?
Yeah, there's not enough of a formal training program, I would say that. I think that after the fact, when you get into that position, you say there should be. And there's opportunity after the fact to learn. But I also think when people want to be a trustee and they want to come forward, there's a lot of opportunity for them to learn outside of this room and to take classes and to listen to webinars to find out some more of the information as well as visiting other townships.
But it's not required? Is it something that's just...
No, it's not required. None of us have that stipulation. Right. It's
just me. I do.
Well, you don't have any educational requirements.
Yes, she does.
Yes, I do.
I mean, you do for fiscal officer, but I'm not saying for accounting.
Yeah, it's just different because I've been watching different trustees over the years, and just different mixes, and it's like...
No, she has to maintain training per the Ohio Revised Code.
I would think so, because she's got financial responsibility.
Right.
But just as a trustee. So that's all, I was just curious. Just trying to figure this stuff out. But thank you, gentlemen, I appreciate it.
They have recommended classes for the trustees.
Yeah.
And so that's what we try to catch, you know.
So with that being the case, is there any way that they recommend this stuff and that you hold yourselves accountable to taking these classes and stuff like that, saying, almost like, I think you were talking about the something earlier about you go through
The OTA.
The OTAs, and it's like, like you said, you get to some modules, you skip some or whatever, but isn't there something that should be kind of a standard for most trustees? Like, before you actually can vote on something, you need to have gone through the first five modules, then you're cleared to do it.
I think what you're saying has a lot of merit. It's not something that's in place today.
Okay.
But, you know, there's situations where I haven't been through things because I haven't been around as long, and Chuck has been.
Right.
So it's kind of
that long either. I mean,
not long, no. But I mean, longer than anyone else sitting up here, right? The trustee position.
Maybe that's what I'm witnessing. That's
you can call me too. I got, you know,
some
information and stuff. But again, just to keep this going here, OTAs and stuff like that. And I even talked with other people just on general of being new, and when I got hired, you know, as a business owner and all that other stuff, I feel like all elected officials should have some type of boot camp.
Yeah.
But the state doesn't have that, but I would firmly vote for that and believe in that.
Yeah, I just remember, being here for a while, there were a lot of long tenured trustees, and they had this thing down to a, I'm not saying anything against you guys, but
you can say
it's all, you guys are just new to the position.
Well, even like where I'm at now at 4 years compared to where I was when I first got elected, it's night and day. And that's why I also feel, you know, having tenure and having background, and I did apply to be reelected again. If I do that, at least I have 4 years underneath my belt, and I'm not starting off as a fresh, a freshman. So
if that's the case, you guys are all trustees, but Doug, you are the guy in the center. Does that mean that you're...
It's called the chairman.
Chairman, okay.
Okay, so there's a chairman of the board that is voted on at the beginning of every year.
Okay.
And you have flexibility on how you do that, whether you roll it from person to person or whether some townships have the same people that hold that position ongoing.
Okay.
So you have flexibility based on what you as a team choose to do.
So this may be a silly question, but why would not the senior member of the trustees with the most experience not be the chairman?
Well, it's not, he has no more power than Bruce or I. He literally, we have to have somebody who's in charge of the meetings and stuff like that. And then also, if there's something where a singular person has to sign for something like that, he would have first.
Right, but my question, why would not the person with the most experience be appointed or be voted into that position like yourself, Chuck, as opposed to a relatively newcomer like Doug?
I think the flexibility that anything can happen to anybody, we've talked about that in the past, a train could hit me tomorrow or
sure.
Could hit Chuck. So having people with more, so that they have some experience isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get a train out and hit me. I'm not suggesting that, but it could happen. So that's all.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Okay. To speak to it, going back to the minutes, I think, Doug, what you said was, you hit on part of it. I think what we all had a little bit of inconsistency with was, I being here the longest, was used to, I'm going to pick on Celia for a minute, Celia did minutes that were excellent. They were to the word. And Celia still got picked on by some members of the audience. You know, she left out a as or a when, you know, and some a period or a comma, people would get upset. And in an attempt to try to scale that back so that people didn't, you know, they couldn't say, well, I said this exactly and it wasn't quoted. We scaled that back some, and then there were complaints that there wasn't enough content in minutes. So it's very hard to find a happy medium. And I think that's where we had some disagreements between, you know, my office and the board. But that's where we got held up in August with those minutes. You know.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification.
And Celia?
Let's go, Marks Road, 3523 Marks Road. Regarding the minutes, I was told by the prosecutor's office, minutes are a synopsis of what is going on. They're not to be word for word, but you're to be able to read the minutes and understand exactly what's going on, but you don't put them word for word. And also, they did away with writing up public comment because people, certain individuals, would use it as a platform and go on for 45 minutes to an hour and then expect those words to be put into the minutes. And we were told, no, you don't do that. So Michael Todd and the trustees then stopped putting public comment. You do public comment, but you don't have to put it in the minutes. So there's some of those things. So Angela is the last person to see the minutes. She reviews them, fixes the periods and the as and the whatever, and makes sure the motions have to be exact. If the motions aren't exact and the resolutions aren't exact, then you're in trouble. But, and she double checked everything and gives the approval. Then they were printed off and presented to the trustees and you would look at them, not you, but you know, trustees would read them and make sure that everything was okay, and then they would say they're good to go, print them off, and they'd get approved at the meeting. Now, how come, I don't know, and when I left, the minutes were good. Mm-hmm. Our payroll was good. Our accruals were good. Everything was good. So I have no idea what the hell happened after that.
Can I speak up?
That's all I have to say.
Can I speak up?
Sure.
Okay, here's my take. So I started here, minutes were behind, I helped get them caught up. Then, in the whole process of sending them over to our fiscal officer, let's say I caught them up till like the end of November, okay? Then came December. There were a lot of heated discussions in December. You could refer to the audio right now for that. And there was not enough content in a lot of the November ones. There was a lot of heated things going on. So I don't know why my minutes were not liked. So then I went back and redid them because Angela asked me to. And then I was starting to put everything in there because I was like, I'm doing these minutes, I'm doing them over again because she said to do them over again. Well, then they sat. And it took a while for everybody to approve them, and there was more heated discussion on why they weren't being approved. I'm just being honest. I was kind of caught in the middle of it, and then comes December, I haven't been back to them, or December 8th. And then I took over secretary's position on January 25th. A lot of things came in. You mentioned public records requests. We've been very bogged down with them. So therefore I cannot get to minutes. We're, you know, there's a lot of things going on and I think people should know about it. Public records requests are probably exceeding, I would say, over 100 since January 25th, since I've taken over.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you. Oh.
Still you go again, Marks Road. Who is sending in all these records requests? Am I allowed to ask?
That
it's,
I don't know.
You can make a
record
request.
You can request them.
I understand.
I can get that to you.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
It's a public record.
I'd be happy to. What are they?
And for what purpose?
Yeah, what's the purpose of them?
All kinds of stuff.
But I would like to say thank you, because what you said, Celia, was something that was said last year, that the minutes do not have to be word for word.
No, they don't.
And that was discussed very heatedly.
So, thank you.
And the purpose, the prosecutor told me you don't put word for word, because then the trustees are using it for a political platform, or the fiscal officer is using it for a political act, or individuals in the audience, they want the political, you know, and keep politics out of this. We have three good trustees now. I think yous are doing a good job. I was here 24 years. If it wasn't for one trustee, I would still be here, and she knows who I'm talking about. So anyway, you just do the best you can and get an opinion from the prosecutor again on minutes. But that's what I was told.
Yeah, thank you.
You were going to Michael Todd, who's the attorney.
We're hoping to work it out.
No, this was done.
Yes.
So we're moving forward at least now with Kim, hopefully, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Make a motion to close public comment?
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye. All right, Mr. Johnson, do you have any comments?
Just real quick, we had an LST meeting this morning. The chief and I attended it. A lot of good information coming in there. Again, the biggest topic that we've been talking about is the non-life-threatening EMS transports. We're trying to knock those down. We're working on some resolutions and some verbiage with the city and with Montville. So it's looking more positive. And there'll be more information once we can get some feedback from the nursing homes, the assisted living, and maybe some other transport companies in the medical field.
Excellent. Bruce? Just a couple quick things. One, I got contacted by the Weymouth Country Club, and they're going to have a Labor Day kids party, pool party. And they asked if the township would be considered some kind of representation, and they were hoping for a fire truck. I told them I'd bring it to the board and we'd talk. I think it's important, before we would agree to that, would be we'd have to have somebody staff around it. We'd have to know that Rita was okay with the insurance end of things, you know, liability wise. We need to know we have a fire truck that we can drive over there. I don't know the condition of number 7 or whatever truck number back there.
The condition's good and drivable, but I still wouldn't recommend kids using it as a playground, you know, but to see it, touch it, whatever, I don't see any issues with that.
Isn't that the one you took the insurance off of, though?
There's no insurance. No, it's not off. You thought it was off, but it's not taken off.
Okay.
Certain insurance off, but the liability is not.
Okay.
So
I won't be around, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to be around either. I don't want to volunteer to do it and find out we're not around. So.
And it's Labor Day. All right, well, something to discuss.
Okay, just something to think about. Labor Day will be here before we know it.
Sure.
Does it want kids in the trucks?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, the insurance does not want kids in the trucks.
Oh, I agree. That's why I said we'd talk to the insurance and find out what the parameters were.
We were told no.
No, that's why we didn't go on parades as well. So, the other thing I want to say is that, you know, for those who don't know and might hear something, it sounds, I can't be complimentary enough to the job that Chrissy's doing. You know, when you brought up how minutes have kind of feigned, she's done an absolute wonderful job given the environment she has to work in. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I've been accused of being over nice sometimes or over complimentary, and absolutely positively I'm telling you, I'm not being over complimentary here.
What environment are you referring to?
We're referring to the public records requests.
Okay.
I mean, she said 100, and I promise you that when you take a public records request that has 10 or more items within it, you see what happens to that 100, right? So my point there is she's been working really as much as she can with legal, and because so many of these have a tie. It's, you can't just flippantly go through something. It takes thought. Sometimes it takes going to our IT people. And sometimes it's, you go, you work through it to a point, and then you realize this is getting too big to do it manually. And then you go to the IT people. But we do have a purchase order in place for using them. It's just, it's a complicated process, unfortunately. So much time. So I just want you and whoever's out there to understand that from my perspective, the office as a group is working. I mean, Elaine's right there too when in support. It's not, I'm very encouraged, and I would hope that all four of us would likewise participate in resolving the public records request.
Thank you for your clarity. No, I was just a question. I had to be
asked. Well, I don't like leaving something that could be perceived in another fashion.
Thank you.
So that's my, so with that.
And Chrissy and Elaine. Elaine really has, in this new role, mm-hmm. she has stepped up. I don't think she's ever seen an appropriation status report, mm-hmm. and she's really done a great job. Are you done? Can I just
mention? I think we're done.
One thing. Just real quick, there's been notes in the payroll system, and I know I mentioned this last week, so real quick, just please, if you're going to put notes, put a little note, not just your initials, like just put a little note of why, because remember, in 2 years, you're not going to remember.
Are you talking to me?
Well, I am today, but
okay, well,
it was just CJ, CJ.
Well, it was just his hours.
Yeah, so just a little note of why, because when audit comes, you know, if they ask why, you know,
funny story on that, because I thought the chief, you know, his chief's salary, it doesn't matter if he works or anything like that. And I said, you know, so I put in here, you know, that you work, but he works all the time. So I just.
If you're, but again, remember, if you're going to make a change on something and the auditor wants to know why a change in there, it's.
But it did say add a work shift on there. I mean, that's what it was. It was added a work shift. So it should, in the forensics, say add a work shift. And I put CJ, that I approved that work shift on there. So it wasn't anything changed. It was just putting in there that's his hours.
And should,
he used to be able to do that himself, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. Okay. So for him to put his, right, Chief, it doesn't.
Yeah, I used to have an actual time card in there.
But he doesn't have that anymore, so.
But I can't speak to that. No changes have been made, so, but.
He's completely, he can't edit his own stuff, so.
But that actually makes sense, because really the manager should, the hierarchy should be, you know, so that's all. I just want to remind you, so.
So, with that, I would like to make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye. And I adjourn this meeting. It is 6:47 p.m.